given that I think all of the stations have minimally webmasters and other technicians that require this kind of interface, isn't there like a mechanism that specific to right now before you go into the elaborate planning and so forth, of some direct interaction, like either, you know, an in-person visit that maybe at the June meeting, because we're flying out to New York, that as we have at the last meeting we flew in the chairs, maybe we could fly in all of the webmasters of all of the stations to meet with you in person and spend a whole day with you the day before.
I appreciate the effort and this, but I don't think that would be the best use of our money or time. The nature of what we're doing, we can do this over the web. It's just a matter of having the will, and it's not the technicians that don't have the will, folks. Organizationally, we do not have the will. It's not a function of this board or this convener. It's been the four-year experience I've had. It always comes last. I'm not saying it should come first, but we can't talk about emerging technologies and the internet without ever dealing with it.
But can you tell us specifically what we can do as a board? In other words, like, I only use that as an example because that's something we could pass a resolution and make it happen.
You can start by having the technology committee meet on a regular basis, and we can work with that. We can include the web workers. We can create structure.
And we can bring motions like that. And I'm not sure, was just suggesting possibly keep doing training at the other stations. But more than anything, the problem is that a lot of the technology work that's being done on the network is station funded and station supervised, and it's not network coordinated. And so that'll also take work from the national office.
I'm
going to be the convener.
Can I speak up on that?
Yeah.
It's not a function of money. I say this in my report.
I didn't say it was. I said that there's station supervision versus network supervision, and where the management locus of control is to coordinate all those efforts so that they combine rather than move them parallel. That's all I'm saying. Stanley?
Just very quickly, I hope to get this thing launched. Where it goes from there, we'll see. But, you know, this has been put on the back burner. I think we all look at technology as something, okay, that's nice. You know, it's not important because we have other issues to deal with. The issue we have to deal with is technology. We're here. And you're going to be able to get an internet radio from your car really soon. And this is where we're going. So pay attention and keep up and join in.
And so Sandy is committed to getting this meeting convened in 3 weeks. And we will start. And with that, we don't have time. At the next, go ahead, Rob, quickly.
No, I just wanted to assert that the, for those of us that have worked with Pete is always available by phone. He always responds to email. I think what he's trying to say, and he has so much passion in what he does, when Pete gets up in person, he's very, he has stage fright. So I want everybody to forgive him for that, because you never have that problem with him in writing or on the internet or on the telephone. But we're having it here tonight, Pete. You're blowing it. But
I know. Well,
we know how hard you work. And what Pete's trying to say is that if we will try to move some of the other people in the network to the point where they're as fluent as he is, that he can work with them, that we're all going to be able to go down the road further. And Pete, we want to do that with you. And believe me, everybody that works with you knows how competent and how hard you work and how conscientious you are. So thank you.
I appreciate that. It's not about, I'm very frustrated, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the community, those that are listening. I didn't even say hello or welcome. You know, it speaks to the level of frustration, and I apologize. With loads of respect, I don't mean to disrespect. I know you guys do your stuff, volunteer, and you put in your time, but it's been 4 years.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're on the management issue.
Yes, sir.
Management Q&A.
Yes, and we're going to start with Ernesto Adua from KPFT, who is here to report on and answer questions.
Well, and I want to emphasize not more than 5 minutes of presentation. This time is for Q&A. And what I'd like is each of the managers who are going to give reports to do their 5 minutes, and then we'll take the next half hour to ask questions of each of them as board members would like.
You've got ways for. First of all, I wanted to say thank you. My name is Ernesto Aguilar, and I'm Program Director at KPFT. First, I wanted to convey Dwayne Bradley's thank you for your work. I talked to them a little bit earlier. He's been to 17 or 18 EMB meetings. This is number 18, and this is the one he had made. He's actually in a small East Texas town called Linden, Texas, at a Texas Music Awards session. KPFT is nominated for Best Radio Station in the state. And as you recall from the PFW meeting, he actually had to leave that meeting to go accept another award. So he wanted to be here, wanted me to convey to you all that thank you for the work that you all do. I personally also wanted to say thank you as well, because each and every one of you has come up and said hello. Virtually everybody has been very, very courteous, kind, pleasant, welcomed me in, and that's felt really nice, because many of you are new, many of you I met in Houston, but all of you have been very, very and it's been a pleasure to get a chance to meet all of you and get to know you. And also, I wanted to say thank you to Dave, as well as thank you to each and every one of you for taking the break that you did this afternoon to let us get the opportunity to go over to the rally. It was very inspiring. It was just a really incredible experience. You all have Dwayne Bradley's report, so I'm going to skirt through a few of those things really quickly, try to get into a few other items which aren't on there, specifically some of the outreach work that we're doing right now. I passed around some materials around some high school work that we're doing, as well as our own youth program and changes to that. Probably the biggest thing that's going on right now at KPFT, and the biggest thing you all will want to be aware of, is our major donor campaign that's about to kick off fairly shortly. The FCC last year approved us to go up from our fairly low wattage, we were ordered several years ago to drop our wattage, and at this point we have been approved by the FCC to go back up to 100,000 watts. And we have a major donor campaign that's going to be kicking off in April called the Buy a Watt campaign. Simple premise, $1,000 donation, you buy a watt for the radio station. And I cannot emphasize to each and every one of you and those of you in the audience how critical it is to have a 100,000 watt station of the level of Pacifica in what is especially known as Tonga Lake Country. It's absolutely necessary, and if anyone is sincerely interested, I'd be happy to take your information. I can pass it to our development director, be happy to get you connected with it. Everybody who gives to the Buy a Watt campaign, I believe all the major donors who are going to be contributing to help purchase those watts are going to be on a plaque at the transmitter site. But the biggest thing is, of course, the fact that KPFT will be up from under 30,000. A few years ago, we were ordered down to that because another radio station was being constructed. Back from that below 30,000 up to 100,000, and that represents for us at least another 300,000 potential new listeners to KPFT. So pretty exciting stuff. We have a program council that was founded last year that will be meeting with management of the LSB this coming week to talk about schedule recommendations. Program Council has been a fascinating thing. It was originally an agreement of the LSB and management, composed of listeners, LSB members, and volunteers, people who were on their staff participating, unpaid staff who were participating in our Program Council. It's been a very exciting development. I've gotten a chance to be a part of it, and a lot of great people who have been connected with it. In addition to that, the materials that I've passed around, just to sort of, where am I at? 2 minutes. I'll try to zip through this really quick. The materials that you've gotten represent some of the work that I, as program director, I became program director permanently in December, but started some of these things when I was interim program director. I started that last March. Programs that I've started in terms of youth outreach as well as new voices trainings. Trainings that are geared to not only involve people in programming, but involve people in the volunteer culture of KPFT to help us as staff solve really basic problems. How do we encourage volunteers to make sure they register for elections? How do we do little things that staff, just because we're staff, oftentimes don't get a chance to, involving new volunteers and fresh voices in those types of decisions, but also in programming? The youth volunteer program materials that have been passed around, we changed our youth volunteer program quite a bit to involve bi-weekly or bi-monthly program, or I take it back, bi-weekly programming, twice a month of youth volunteers, youth-led programs, youth-initiated, involving each and every one of those youth. In addition, we are initiating a campaign or work with Waltrip High School. They've asked us to be on their board of directors for the Arts and Communications Academy, along with the Museum of Fine Arts and Houston Community College, to find ways for youth to be involved in the arts and communication. So it's a really exciting thing for us to be connected with a lot of great high school kids.
for you. Thank you. And just for future reference, I know it's like 5 minutes. We're going to say 5 minutes. And we will rotate the focus in each meeting. So this is just to hit those highlights of whatever you think is most critical at your station, and then we'll have open questioning for all three stations. Thank you.
Yes. Can I mention one more thing?
Please do.
I would like for folks at various LSVs to please take these back to your stations. I'm going to try to make some time this weekend to talk with each of our GMs and PDs. But after seeing today's event, one of the things that I'd like to see come out of KPFT, primarily because we are so affected by this issue, before the Simpson-Brenner bill comes up to a vote, pull together some type of national special / national call-in program around this event. Because this type of issue is one that Pacifica is missing out on in a lot of respects, particularly on a national front. And if you all can bring that to your local stations, of course, I'm going to be talking with Ava and Armando, Jose, Bernard, Indra, everyone else. But if you all have ideas, I want to hear them. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. This is what happens when you bring bringing people together. He was one of the many people I met as I traveled around the country and learned about, you know, not just the people who have been with us for years, but some of the people who have recently joined, and I wanted you to meet them. And another person I wanted you to meet with, that I've met since moving to Berkeley, is the development director at KPFA. You know, we don't have a general manager, but she is one of the leaders of KPFA today. This is Lemlin Bilio.
Thank you so much for having me here. I am going to experiment from stage fright, so forgive me for having a shaky voice and everything. I don't think it's true that there is a power vacuum at KPFA. We do lack a general manager, but the three managers, the operations manager, the business manager, and I, as well as the program coordinator, have forged a great collaborative body, and you know, we're moving forward where we actually have great news to share with you. So I just made an outline. Our focus is building the capacity of the station in building infrastructure. In the components of operations, we are pursuing digital upgrade of the KU satellite, which we administer that distributes all the programs to stations and affiliates. We're doing that with a grant from NTIA. We did not have $75,000 match budgeted in this year's budget to do the transmitter upgrade. We hope that we will be able to pursue that next year. We're trying to increase web streaming and improving the sound of our archive programs. And just to give you an example, between February 28th and March 14th, in a two-week period, we had 237,702 total page requests of archived pages. We think that's significant. We have nine popular programs with high podcast feeds, ranging between 20,000 feet to about 8,000 feet. And now we are assessing the possibility of internet programming to utilize the web more effectively and attract new and young audience and ease the pressure of not enough airtime for all the programs that need an outlet. On the administration component, we are streamlining our budgeting process. We are employing best practices in managing and tracking expenses, grants, etc. We are collaborating with Pacifica to ensure compliance of human resources laws and policies, as well as Pacifica policies. We are employing a positive and productive outlook of administration among staff and programmers, so that we have trust and cooperation and between programmer staff and the management team. On the development side, our goal is to expand listenership and diversify our revenue streams. Development is a two-sided coin. Publicity or PR is one side of the coin and the other is fundraising. There is no separating these two. So we have to do both. We don't want to focus on fundraising and meeting our fundraising goals and keep depending on the same people. We recognize our product is good programming, so the development staff collaborates on planning and execution of on-air drives, as well as publicity campaigns, major gifts campaigns, all off-air fundraising efforts. We have instituted a silent, what we call a silent drive, outside of the traditional fundraising scheduled campaigns. At the end of the year, during the month of December, we record cards that are asked for different levels of giving, and we've increased our gifts from general, just mail, by 100% between 04 and 05. That's from 80,000 to 168,000. We're restructuring our mailing, our direct mail appeals and renewal appeals, and have increased our income by over 60% between 04 and 05.
We're just in time. Can you finish?
Sure. We are also expanding on our planned giving campaigns, etc., to basically diversify our revenue streams and not depend heavily on air fundraising.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
WDFW's MVP.
Oh, get out of here. Thank you, Greg. Hello, everybody. First, I want to thank the KPFK for once again putting on a very fine board meeting, convening this and doing a very fine job, and to all the staff and volunteers and LSG and so on and so forth. Get right to it. WPFW, we got good things going on, and we've got some other things going on. good things, let's start with those. Once again, we had another successful pledge drive this recent winter. We had a monetary goal of about $492,000. We were able to raise $518,000. We did that in a 14-day period. We're trying to maintain that limit. We're trying not to oversaturate our business with these drives. So we're trying to do these drives in a two-week period to achieve these goals. But we also had a particular goal that we were very, very interested to see if we could achieve. We wanted to get new members. We have people who call in for the first time, make donations to the station. This was a significant goal for us because sometimes listenership can get stagnant, and we wanted to know just what kind of reaction we would get if we actually went out and sought that new listener, that first time donor. I'm very proud to say that we generated 2,100 new listeners, new donors, which represented a 40% higher, 40% of our drive this time were actually new members. That's significant because you know, we do have an aging demographic. Everybody knows that. All the stations are going through that. We're going to continue those efforts. We're going to continue to seek new members. If you don't ask, we're just going to get it. It's just that simple. So we focus this campaign on that new listener. A couple of projects that we have been involved in were redesigning the floor plan of the station so that we could have more efficient space and things like that. I think this is the first time the station floor plan had been reconfigured since we moved there. And now we literally have an abundance of space where we can actually hold our LSB meetings right in the station. It may sound insignificant, but it was very significant for us. That was the first time we have been really able to do that in a way that's comfortable for everybody, because we were having them in a little small lobby and people were standing around and stuff like that. And consequently, we had to go outside. We had to lease a place to have our meeting. So we had our first in-house meeting just about the last meeting. So that was, this is very comfortable. We got a lot of room there so we can fight and go around the rug. And we replaced the carpet, and things like that. So, we're trying to create a much more positive environment for the staff and for our visitors. and our visitors who have come to the station, been coming to the station a long time ago, you know, very, very impressed with what we did in terms of people figuring the floor plan. I want to thank Serena Secure, our LSV member, who actually came up with the basic tenets of that floor plan. And, you know, we've had other contributions from our LSV members as well. Now, right now, we also enjoy a positive income variance of about $144,000, from what I understand is the best in the network rate. So, you know, that's significant, too. So we have money in the bank, we're meeting our obligations, our bills, and so on and so forth, and we're trying to be very, very stingy with that money because, you know, just because you have it doesn't mean you just go out and spend it. You know, we want to, when we do spend it, we want to spend it on things that will move the station forward. We're being very, very careful, very, very frugal about that. And now the other thing is, we were able to achieve these flash drive successes with the programming that we currently have, but we also realized that looking at our numbers that there are some areas in our schedule, some areas in our grid that are unproductive and that we have to look at in terms of improving. If we can get 20% more revenue out of those areas, then we'd be in just that much better a shape. So we're going to be working with the staff, the LSB, to explore some new programming ideas, to expand some ideas, to expand our public affairs grid, things like that. But not at the expense of culture, because they both do go hand in hand, but we do want to achieve a balance there. Because we do want to raise additional revenue. We would love to have $1 million drive. You know, I mean, you know, I was very impressed with what Lisa said. So, but these are the things that we're striving for. New website design coming online very, very shortly. We're just trying to move forward, folks. We're trying to do it collectively. I look forward to working with the LSB on these new programming ideas and opening up some opportunities for some new programming. I think that's going to be very significant. We do have our plans to include the Spanish language programming, as all the stations are. But we're taking a little step further because we're also going to do some Latino public affairs programming produced by a new Latino collective that we're forming there. Once again, trying to be inclusive, trying to create some new opportunity, trying to get rid of some dead weight because, you know, that's the reality of it. And just trying to improve what we do, enhance the good things, and cull the bad things.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so now it's really less than half an hour, but I think we should allow a full half hour with questions from board members. You can keep your questions about 90 seconds and just ask whichever manager you want. This is on WTNA. And I went this way last time, so I'm going to go this way this time. And let's start with Alan.
Okay. First of all, Ron, I'm very excited to hear that there will be an expansion of public affairs. I very much look forward to hearing it. That's exciting. But my question is actually for Len. I know everybody's going to think I'm being completely utopian here, and I don't really care. But I was interested in what you said about the absence of a power vacuum. Do you think it's conceivable that KPFA could continually function? In the absence of upper management?
No. That's not what I was trying to imply. I was just trying to assure you that there are a few people, a few of us left covering the ground while we wait for
it. I have nothing against any managers anywhere, but people know my background, so I had to ask. I couldn't let that stop.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, John. Question for Ernesto. You touched upon our program council in Houston, and you said that we know that they're about to give a presentation. Can you give me a little bit of a history of what's happened with that group over the last year and your interaction? Where do you see that going in Houston?
The
the program council, as I mentioned from the top, was an agreement by the LSVA management to demonstrate a spirit of collaboration on programming. It is still composed, of course, of four members of the LSV, four members of unpaid staff, and four listener members. It's chaired by Dr. Evelyn Bethune, a granddaughter of Mary McLeod Bethune, civil rights activist for a long time. She has been really a great find for us to share, because I think that she has single-handedly, in many ways, helped shape a much more positive discourse for our program council. I speak with a little bit of authority on that, because I was actually about 3 years ago on the precursor of the program council, the program steering committee, and this
was a training committee.
The program screening committee, and this program council has made a real effort to assert its independence in many ways. They made a number of different options. They decided they would have a general manager only in by invitation. They decided to actually close meetings. They decided to skew Robert's rules and actually have conversation with each other, as opposed to getting the points of order and various other things. As a smaller group, it's probably more effective than maybe something this large. But they've talked to quite a few programmers, brought several folks in to hear everything from what you like to what don't you like. If it were an ideal world, where would you be on the schedule? And they've made quite a few efforts to really do something proactive in terms of programming. I've been impressed by the group. They've been great, and it's been an enjoyable experience to work with them. They also do potlucks and bring a lot of really good food.
I really enjoyed all three of these presentations. They were great. As long as Ernesto is up there, I have a question for Ernesto.
Yes.
Just very quickly to Ernesto, what is the percentage, would you say, of public service programming to music and culture?
We've been bouncing on the half and half line for a couple of years. We're still probably at about that point. Maybe a little bit more on public affairs side versus music, but we've been kind of varying back and forth for going on 4 years.
How much news?
I'm assuming you included news.
News.
And then, Ron, I just wanted to follow up on a question I asked you in Washington, D.C. I'm very encouraged because I heard a rumor there's going to be a special on your station around Venezuela, maybe in April, working with the Bolivarian Revolutionary Embassy of Venezuela in Washington. That was encouraging. Have you actually met with the Latino collective, with the Spanish-speaking collective, and that project is really going ahead now?
That project is really going ahead. I did not meet with them personally. I was scheduled to, but I had a scheduling conflict, but they did come to the station. It's about 15 members of that collective. I spoke with the Berto Martinez, who was our LSB member, who was putting that collective together for us. And they had a meeting. They've got some ideas about what they want to do with that opportunity. And that's key for me. I didn't want to dictate what we wanted. I wanted them to tell us what they wanted. So it was very important that that collective take place and formulate. And yes, we're going to have a 2-hour special with that collective. That's part of that effort. That's going to be one of the first specials that we want to do. It's going to be 2 hours around that new paradigm, Venezuela and Nicaragua and Chile and so on and so forth.
Do you intend to meet with that collective?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I just couldn't meet with them that particular time.
Yeah.
I left something out that I think is very significant. I wanted to congratulate Ambrose Lane for becoming, well, first of all, because this program, maybe you already know this, maybe you don't. But XM Radio has air a version of this program 5 days a week. And he's still doing what he does for WBFW. But, you know, somebody asked me, well, aren't you concerned about that? Aren't you concerned about him going to another medium like that? And my answer was no, because that gives PFW and Pacifica even greater exposure. Because everybody doesn't have that XM radio. Everybody's not plunking down that money to hear such programming. The vast majority are not. And so it's particularly in our communities.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay, go ahead.
Ernesto, in Dwayne's report here, it says the winter fund drive brought in 328, approximately 94% of the expanded goal, which was set at 350K. Was it before or after the extension of the time in the fund drive?
See,
the 94% there, is that with the extended time of the fund drive or before the extended fund drive?
I believe that's with the.
Okay. So, in fact, the shortfall was considerably more than 6% because there were 2 days added to the fund drive in order to help make up the shortfall, right?
You can potentially look at it that way.
Not potentially. I mean, either we were short and we had to extend the fund drive or we weren't. And if we were, then obviously the 94% figure that we got after the extension is short of what we were actually short in the time that we had allotted for the fund drive initially, right?
Explain your question again. I'm kind of losing track of where you're going.
Sure, I'll see if I can simplify it even further. Okay. Before the fund drive was extended, were we not short more than 94%, more than 6% of our original goal?
We extended it because we projected that we would not make the goal.
Right.
And so we had.
So and we ended up even with the extension, 94% short, 94% of the total.
No, we're 6% short.
Yeah, 6% short. So before the 2%, the 2-day extension, how short?
Excuse me. One second.
I think I'm confusing you. Let me get to my.
No, just a second. Hold it. I think it's this time. I have to move on to the next person. Okay. Thank you.
I don't think I used 90 seconds, sir.
No.
Yeah.
I've been told the timekeeper the time. You know, we're giving each person 3 minutes, whatever. Go ahead, Teresa.
Ernesto, is it not true that that we stopped our pledge drive to take a Katrina town hall meeting that was from New Orleans, and we also stopped our pledge drive to do several extensive Black History Month
We stopped our regular pledge drive. We did more soft fishing. We did some extensive fishes towards the evening, particularly because we were fishing a lot of the Pacific Radio Archive stuff. We did also here in the town hall.
Yeah, I want to thank all three of you for very informative reports. I have similar questions for Ernesto and Ron around service to particular communities that this board has heard complaints and criticisms over a series of meetings, and I just wanted to see the current state of that. Ron already addressed the Latino community and new programming, but I wonder, Ron, if you could also address concerns that have been raised at past meetings from the Arab community in D.C., and then also similarly to Ernesto as far as the Arab community and the African-American community in Houston, and how you would assess your current relationship with the community groups that have raised these issues before and what steps you either have taken or are taking to more fully serve those communities.
As far as the Arab community goes, I have not been presented with any proposals specifically for an Arab focus program. I'm more than willing to listen, and I'm more than willing to consider that because that we want to be open to all constituents. That's one of the reasons, in fact, why we are going to be expanding our public affairs grid, because there are some communities like the Arab community, like the Asian community, that aren't being served at this point. Collectors to come in to take part in this so that, once again, we don't dictate what's going on there. They come in with ideas and proposals that once again,